Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Jeb Blount is a sales acceleration specialist who helps sales organizations reach peak performance fast by optimizing talent, leveraging training to cultivate high-performance sales culture, developing leadership and coaching skills, and applying more effective organizational design. Among other accolades, he's been named one of the top 50 most influential sales and marketing leaders. He's the author of 12 books, including my favorite, Fanatical Prospecting, and his new book that we'll be discussing today, Virtual Selling. Jeb, welcome to the Soar to Success podcast. I am so absolutely delighted to have you with me today.
Well, I'm delighted to be here as well. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm truly honored.
Well, this conversation is going to be so timely because we're going to be talking about your new book, Virtual Selling, and everyone is scrambling now to figure out how to do it. So can you just give us a quick little overview about the book and who could really benefit from reading it?
Well, I think that the who can benefit reading it, really anybody who does anything virtually. So even though it's called virtual selling, if you think about the different communication channels, video conferencing, video messaging, text messaging, phone, chat, all those things, pretty much everybody in business today is having to use some form of virtual in order to communicate. So overall, the book is a fantastic manual for virtual communication, really for anyone. Okay. But particularly for salespeople, the core of the book is how can you conduct better virtual sales calls, better virtual sales prospecting, and engage prospects, and then most importantly, deliver a better experience via virtual channels, because we know that the buyer's emotional experience while going through the process with the salesperson is the most consistent predictor of outcome of any other variable. So when salespeople learn how to deliver better emotional experiences on a virtual channel, they increase or improve the probability that they're going to advance their deal and close it, as they move towards to the end of the sales process.
Yeah, wow, that sounds really great. So I think it also has to do with the emotional makeup of the person too, don't you? The salesperson themselves.
In the book, we spend the first part of the book talking about emotions. So the salesperson dealing with their own emotions, and there are a lot of disruptive emotions that come around dealing with video. So you and I are on video right now, and I don't know about you, but when I first started doing video, I'd look at the camera and I was having a hard time talking because I'd get so nervous. So there is the ability to manage your own emotions so that you can influence the emotions of your buyer. So even the psychology of a video call like this, so framing, for example, how you're framed in the camera, your lighting, and Pat, if you'll notice your frame and lighting in this particular call, it's perfect. Like your frame is perfect. You're wearing blue, which is a really good color to wear on screen.
Oh yay!
Yes, and you've got really good lighting, so it looks almost perfect. So it feels very good to my brain, when I'm working with you, because you don't look like a lot of video frames look, where you've got poor lighting, terrible audio, the camera is either down, you're looking down into the camera, you're looking up into the camera, those type of things. You've done a really nice job of setting up your video call set so that it's appealing, and little things like that make a huge difference when people are making a decision to do business with you based on how they feel about you.
Yeah. This is my personal experience. I live in an area where I have to drive a few hours to meet some of my prospects. And sometimes they would be the only call I would have in that area. And so somewhere deep in my subconscious, I think I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to waste my whole day if they aren't, going to progress in my prospect funnel. And now I've been selling way more on Zoom because I don't have this, I just have to come in here, turn this on, and I'm ready to go, and I haven't wasted 4 hours of travel time. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. So one of the new skills are I guess, I don't know if you'll call, how we'd like to call it, processes that we're teaching sales organizations and sales leaders is a concept called blending. So first of all, let's just start with the fact that human-to-human communication is best face-to-face. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to dispute that. That's the best way for us to communicate. It's just not always practical. For example, on this podcast, it would be impractical for me to hop on an airplane to come see you so that we could hang out for 30 minutes doing a podcast. It's much better to do it at a distance. Yeah. So because it's more efficient. And this, and exactly what you're saying, when you're going on sales calls, in some cases, it's much more efficient to do the call via Zoom. And as we were talking about your frame earlier, your video frame, what would I see when you're on the frame looks so good that you're creating a very good facsimile of being there with you in person. So it feels good on, you know, on the eyes and the brain as I'm watching you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you start thinking about, for example, driving 4 hours to a sales call. If you're blending, you may say, well, the initial sales call where I first meet my client, so I set an appointment with them, maybe that sales call is going to be 20, 30 minutes. It's really just about us getting to know each other. It's a little bit of qualification, a little bit of discovery. And of course, for the salesperson, it's creating enough interest that the person is willing to commit to the next micro step, which might be a deeper discovery call. So maybe it makes sense to do those initial calls on a Zoom call, on, you know, or even a phone call, and then invest your time and effort to go drive 4 hours for the deeper discovery process where you're getting to know multiple stakeholders in the organization, or maybe in some cases, if you sell something that's, say, a capital good, you need to walk around their warehouse or their plant or their office or what have you and get hands-on. Maybe that's a better use of your time. I was just working with another company that sells data management. And for them, when they started looking at blending, so sort of mapping their process and seeing what could be virtual and what needs to be physical, for them, it was the final presentation. Because of what they did and because they needed to bring in so many engineers in, it made more sense for them to do most of their discovery in a virtual setting, so a Zoom or phone, meet all the stakeholders there, and then for the final presentation where they're basically laying out a data or a blueprint for how they're going to take over data management for an organization, that then they get their subject matter experts in the room with the other company's subject matter experts, and so they're kind of collaborating in the process of you know, giving a final proposal. To them, it made more sense if you're going to go in person, invest in that particular meeting. Yeah. So I think when we start thinking about blending, the formula is really simple for sales organizations and salespeople. Choose the communication channel that is going to give you the highest probability of getting the outcome that you desire with that particular person or prospect or stakeholder at that particular place in the sales process at the lowest cost of time, energy, and money. So if you think about that, all it is saying, look, every communication channel in some way is going to be imperfect. Pick the one that has the highest probability of getting you almost always to the next step in the sales process, yeah, right? That's going to cost you the least amount of money and time and effort and energy and that type of thing to get there. And if you start looking at your role that way, exactly what you just said, Pat, you start thinking, well, I can, you know, maybe I could do more. And for most salespeople, if you start blending virtual in, you're going to increase the number of calls you go on. Yeah. Now, let me add one more thing to this. Let's just take the initial call, you know, process we were talking about. Just make your initial call a virtual call. It's easy. You're going to get fewer objections. You should be able to schedule many more. So most salespeople, like, for example, if you're driving to see people and you get initial calls, you're going to get one or maybe two of those a day that you're going to be able to drive to get scheduled. But if in a virtual world, you should be able to do 4 to 6. So one of the things that will happen is that in a virtual environment, you're going to have more of those calls that are going to end up getting canceled. So people, it's easier for people to cancel a virtual call. Mm-hmm. But if you have many more calls overall, like you said, you're going to be able to put more in your pipeline, have more things going through your pipeline, and you're going to be able to sell more in that particular in that particular situation.
Yeah, so they have to pull out your book, Fanatical Prospecting, and start making those appointments for all those calls, right?
That's exactly right. But if you think about, you know, fanatical prospecting, if you're calling people up and asking for appointments, you get objections, especially now that we're in the situation that we're in. Yeah. So you're going to get fewer objections if you say, listen, it'll be a short 20-minute video call just so we can get to know each other. Most people are willing to sign up for that versus I'm going to go to your office, then I got to get through your protocols, whatever those safety protocols are. Then we got to meet in the lobby, then we got to get a cup of coffee, then I sit in your office. We have a whole hour invested in that.
You got to figure out how to get rid of me.
Yeah, that's a lot harder. That's a lot harder for people to sign up for than, hey, let's get together for 20 minutes and let's just see whether or not it makes sense for us to keep talking. Yeah. Pretty simple.
That is really, really good stuff. So how have you found things to be for your business? I know you've been busy writing this book, especially at the early part of COVID. And typically you're out flying around working with companies. So what's happening for you?
Well, it's a really good question, Pat. The, you know, just like everyone else, at the beginning of the pandemic, I sat down and wrote virtual selling. I mean, not like everybody else, but we were panicked like everybody else, trying to figure out how we're going to save our business. I'm a keynote speaker. I'm a trainer. So I spend most of my time on the road interacting with clients face to face. What we did early on is we quickly pivoted to video. So we've been doing virtual selling, virtual keynotes. I gave 13 virtual keynotes last week just for, you know, events that were coming in. So yeah, we really haven't missed a stride. We've added 6 people to our team since then. We've invested close to $1 million in our studio. So I'm in one of our studios now. And we've got our own in-house production and editing and technical team that helps us run our virtual events. And for us as a company, we've never done better. We're hitting all-time records in sales. We're adding clients on as fast as we can go. And we've just, for us, this has been it's been a crucible that we had to go through to change the way we did business. But it's allowed us to speed up, and it's also given us some time to get better at what we're doing. I think, like all crises, if you're an entrepreneur, you're going to run into these problems. It's a really good time to stop and get in, you know, just sort of hone the knife and get good at what you're doing. Because when things are going well, like they were at the beginning of the year, we were just in a place where we couldn't not win. I mean, it was impossible. The phone was ringing off the hook. Everybody wanted us all the time. When you're in those particular situations, it's hard to work on the business in a situation where, like we had in late March and early April, where everything dipped, you stop and you start thinking, how can I make this better? And you start getting ready for the next iteration, which I don't know what it's going to be. Right now, everybody's short term. So everybody's making decisions now. If you were with us last year, we were booking things into August and September. All of those things have shifted to virtual. Yeah. This year, we're booking things for November and December, and nobody's talking about January, February. So we're in a very short-term mindset with a lot of folks. But that works for people because in a virtual world, it's really easy to pivot. When someone says, hey, can you do something on November the 3rd? It's easy for us to say, yeah, we don't have to get on an airplane, stop doing this. We don't have to go, well, we're going to be in Des Moines, so it's going to be really hard for us to get to San Diego. Yeah. So it's opened the door for us to do a lot more work.
Yeah. And what do you think is going to happen in the future related to virtual selling once things sort of open up again? Do you think we'll still be able to maintain this blend?
Well, I think the blending is the future. We were already doing it in some ways, but we're not going back. If you think about where we are, just think about this as a transformational moment. So when things transform, they don't change back again. So it's different than, you know, I'm going through some change or I'm working on some things. But when we have these big changes in our world, so In my lifetime, it was 1987 Black Friday. Like I remember that I was in college at the time, but it was a pretty big deal. Yeah. We had the 9/11 attacks. We had the Great Recession or the global financial crisis, and we had this. In each of those situations, there were massive changes. So in 1987, there were massive changes to the stock market. After 9/11, there were massive changes worldwide for travel and the way we travel and the way we deal with things. Those things have never changed back again. After the financial crisis, there have been massive changes to the banking system, to politics, to how we do things, the way people carry debt. That's all changed. And this, by the way, is going to change the way we interact with each other. And the good news about virtual selling is all the equipment, everything that we needed, all the software, all the technology, it was already here. We just had to catch up with it.
Yeah.
Right. So there was this, all this has done is accelerated the digital transformation that was already rolling over us. So what basically has happened in the course of just a handful of months, we've compressed what I believed would have taken about 10 years to get to. Yeah. So in the future, we're going to blend. There's always going to be face-to-face. It's not going the way. And virtual selling is not about face-to-face versus virtual. It's about how do you leverage virtual to sell more. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue to blend. We're never going to go back again. And one of the things that we know to be true doing this is we've all gotten much more comfortable with this. And can you imagine that you're a buyer and you're sitting down and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, I can got a salesperson come in. I got to stop everything I'm doing. Or can we just hop on a Zoom call real quickly and go over it and see if it makes sense for us to even get together? Mm-hmm. So for buyers, this is going to be a way that they're going to want to deal with people. Mm-hmm. So I think that I think overall, for me, this is probably the best thing, even though the pandemic has been horrible and, you know, we wish that it didn't happen. But for the sales profession in itself, I think this is one of the best things that's ever happened to us, because as we go through this, we are forced to get better. Because if you were terrible in person, you are way worse in a virtual. So you've got to get good at the craft of selling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting. So have you been spending more time at home?
Well, I haven't been on an airplane since March, so I'm home every single night. Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
At all. Like I've traveled to one event. That was in July. So I did one in-person event. I spent two nights in a hotel room. And outside of that, I haven't done anything like that. And last year I did 311 nights. So it's been a,
wow.
So it's been a bit of a change. Although again, you know, the thing about this business, I started this company 13 years ago. I've done more work on the company, made more improvements, and put us in a position where going into 2021, we're going to be better off. We still have a little bit of transformation ourselves. So it's going to be a little bit painful as we go through that. But as an entrepreneur, it's put us on a better path than we were going into this. And frankly, the break from the road's been good for me to sort of reevaluate what I want to do and how I want to do that. So coming back, I was doing, 100 plus events a year before, and coming back from this, I'm going to probably limit it to about 25 to a month that I'll do physically, but I can do as many as you want to virtually.
Yeah.
That's not hard at all.
Yeah. That's so fantastic. So what do you do for fun?
Well, I have horses. So my fun is horses and writing books. So that's pretty much
it. Yeah. So do you have another book in the works? Do you have something?
I do. I've got a new book that'll be coming out called The Virtual Training Bible, and we'll be teaching people our virtual learning experience process. So the thing that's put us on the map as a training organization, and what's happening is that the process of teaching people virtually is getting better too. Go back to frames, right? So if you've got a great studio, if you've got, great technology, if you've got a great process, then you can deliver more training. You can do it at a lower cost to your clients. And of course they don't have travel coming in, and you can make training stick longer if you provide a great experience. So the entire book is about how to deliver that training experience, because we know that when people have a great experience learning, they're more likely to retain what they learn.
Yeah. Yeah. When's that going to be out?
That'll be out in early next year.
Okay, great. Good. We'll look forward to that. So one thing I always ask everyone who's on this podcast with me is, what are three traits that you think people have to have or exhibit in order to be really good at, since we're talking about virtual selling, let's say virtual selling?
I think number one is that you need courage, and the courage is to try new things. So in particular for salespeople, it's the willingness to go out and learn, and the willingness to go out and try new technology, the willingness to open up Zoom, for example, and just go through and pick through it until you learn it and master it. So it's that, and we would add to that curiosity. So courage and curiosity.
Okay.
I think number two is emotional discipline. So it's the ability to manage your emotions when you're doing virtual calls, because that one core ability, manage my emotions, is going to allow you to come off as being relaxed, assertive, and confident when you're on virtual calls. And I know that's tough for most people, because I even watch CEOs who can command a room. You put a video camera in front of them and they no longer have the ability to speak. And then I think it's learning and understanding that the way that we use technology, and this would be, I would call this TQ, or your technical quotient, It's the ability to leverage technology to allow you to spend more time in human-to-human conversations versus using technology as a way to keep human conversation and human connection at arm's length. Mm-hmm. So it's the you know, making a phone call versus sending an email type mentality. Mm-hmm. So it's allowing people to, as technology and the digital transformation continues to roll over us, how are we using it to give ourselves more time for people?
Yeah. Wow. Fantastic. Well, how can people find out more about you and your book?
Well, it's really easy. Go to salesgravy.com, which is our core website, salesgravy.com, and you can find everything else about me and our website and our training. And we have thousands of articles that are free and resources are free. So go to salesgravy.com. You can learn more about me. And if you're interested in taking a virtual selling course, just go to e-learning and you'll find our virtual selling boot camps, which we offer about once a month. They'll be there. And then you can find me on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on YouTube. Just I'm usually at SalesGravy everywhere you go, but you can also type my name, JEBBLOUNT, Jeb Blunt, into your search bar and you'll be able to find me anywhere.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking a few minutes of your time today to speak to me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, Pat. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.